Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
I feel really glad being here. I've been looking for an entire week while I was in reservist. These 2 weeks, yeah. I heard Pastor Peter is going for reservist after this. I've been looking forward to this so much also because I was from this church maybe 10, 20 years back when I was playing Tamiya cars. Do you know Tamiya? Yeah. The older ones will know a little bit more, right? We were playing Tamiya cars right outside. I was probably about 5, 6 years old or something like that. Yeah, and just coming back here brings a lot of nostalgic feeling. Very good memories back here. On top of that, I was a youth pastor in Singapore and my youth ministry actually looks exactly like you guys. So this is really brings back a lot of memories and yeah, and I'm so excited to be able to speak to you guys, to address you guys as well, to share the stories that God has placed in my heart with all of you. Just now the teams as they came up and I saw you guys coming forward and laying hands on them and supporting them and praying for them. I just felt the heart of the Father saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for not just doing church, for not just playing church, for not just coming here and doing a social club, but really caring about the church as a part of the kingdom of God. Understanding that you have brothers and sisters all over the world. Understanding that you have lost sheep all over. And that your heart cries for them. And I see the different people as they come up and share. I tell you, these are... I mean, Pastor, you got really good speakers, preachers, teachers in the making. Yeah, you are not short of successors. Amen, amen. Yeah. I'm a youth pastor, or rather I was a youth pastor about 7 years ago. And so as I speak a little bit more, you will see me running around talking and I'll get a little bit more excited. Yeah. And by nature, I'm a very storyteller. So you'll kind of have to stop me for a while, right? I want to start with a story. I really want to start with a story. At first, I want to start off with introduction of who I am and all that, but we'll leave that to later. Just take it as I'm some person. Okay. Early this year, I was at a tattoo parlor. I won't tell you why I was at the tattoo parlor. I'll tell you, I went to get a tattoo, right? Pastor approved of this. He said I can speak about it. So anyway, I was at the tattoo parlor and someone introduced me to one in Bugis. He's really good. He's about 28 years old. And I went there and at the shop, there were 3 tattoo artists. One guy, one girl, and one of them, another guy, he's the owner. And he started to work on me, and basically I was getting a tattoo of my Chinese name, which is the word Yong, which also means eternity, forever. And tattooed it on my chest because of Ecclesiastes 3:11 that says, anyone? He has set eternity upon our hearts. And even while we are living on earth and we know our destiny is to rule over the earth, but we do that with our sights set on heaven. Because heaven is our destination, but the earth is our destiny. To rule over the earth is our destiny. So anyway, he was tattooing me and everything. He had tattoos covered all over himself. And he was asking me, hey Kenny, so what do you do? I said, I'm kind of missionary, kind of pastor. And they were like starting to give me the eye already. You know, like, you're a pastor. So, and the girl started talking and she said, like, we don't like pastors. We hate pastors. They look at us, they look at our tattoos, immediately they think we're problematic, and all of that, you know. And I said, occupational hazard, you know, sometimes it's like that. And I started talking to them and sharing with them different stories that God has brought me to different nations to preach, teach, and to minister to people. And 15 minutes in, my job was done, or my artist job was done. And he said, hey, we're going out for a smoking break right now. So why don't you follow us and we'll hear more stories from you. Okay. Went outside, shirtless and everything, in the hot sun. And the girl turned to me. The girl, female tattoo artist turned to me and she said, hey, you said just now that you hear God's voice and you pray for people. What do you mean? What do you mean you hear God's voice? Like, how is it like booming voice or what? And I said, instead of explaining it to you, how it works, why don't I do it for you? I hear what God says about you. And she said, like, really? You do it for me? For free? I was like, yeah, for free, for free. I'm not a fortune teller. I'm not reading you. I'm just reading what God says about you because He really cares for you. The Bible talks about that His thoughts towards us are like the sand of the sea, right? And so I stood in front of her and she was really nervous and I was really nervous and I said, okay, Lord, give me a picture. And God gave me a picture of this older guy and I said, hey, do you have an older brother? And she said, let me help you out. No, I don't have an older brother and I'm the single child. It's like, oh Lord, first one already get it wrong. How? And the Lord didn't let me that image go out of my mind. And I said, hey, why don't let's do this? Let me just tell you whatever God wants to say about you, and I'll do it. And then you tell me whether it's right or it's wrong. Okay. And so for 15 minutes, I just went on about the older guy in his life, in her life. And then later on, God gave me more pictures about her mom. And I prophesied about her mom. I say like, she had went through hardships in life. And because of the hardships, she was kind of mentally broken. And therefore, she had to take care of the mom. And I spoke about her heart, her destiny, what she was called to do and what she was passionate about. It took about 15 minutes. And she just stood there and just gave me the eye. You know, like the, what are you saying? You know, so at the end of it, at the end of 15 minutes, I just went, you know, so how was it? And she said, it was, there are some language I cannot use here on stage, but it was toot, accurate. Yeah. And I was like, okay, cool. And then at this point, my tattoo artist heard and he's like, what? Do me, you know. And eventually we went back to the shop, did some touch-up and everything, and I prophesied over, prayed over my own tattoo artist, talked about his relationship with his earthly dad, and how he was always searching for significance and never found it. And as well as him being backstabbed by his friends over and over again until he doesn't care anymore. And I just began to share all of that with him, and again, at the end, he used colorful language and to describe how accurate it was. And this isn't to brag about how God speaks through me, but how much He cares for every single person, even a tattoo parlor artist. By this time, the owner on the other side was like, Kenny, you come over here. Okay, I put a chair beside me. Don't mind. I tattoo this guy and then you can start prophesying over me. And he was tattooing this big buff guy from Naval Diver Unit. Yeah. And so he was doing that and I was prophesying over him. It took about 20 minutes and it was done. Again, it was accurate and all that. And I was just going to pack my stuff and leave. And then the NDU guy, the army big buff guy, was like, don't mind, I was like, okay, I do for you also. So I prophesied over him. By this time, he already knew that I was saying accurate things about his life. But at the end of it, he asked a really, really awesome question. He said, I know everything that you said is right, but I still feel very lost. Like, what am I here on earth for? Like, there must be a reason why I'm here, right? I was, oh my goodness, perfect opportunity to share the gospel. He's baiting me. Yeah, I was like, okay, Lord, I follow you. I don't rush. And everyone started chipping in, you know, all religions are the same, lah. You are here to be good, lah. Everyone wants you to be good, and just be good, lah. You'll fulfill your purpose in life. And he shut out all the noises, and he turned to me, and he asked me, Kenny, what do you say? What's the purpose of my life? And I say, God has created us all uniquely, differently, designed differently. And every single one of us have different purpose for our lives. And for me, my purpose is to know God, to love Him, and to make Him known. Of course, his non-Christian friend was like telling me, oh, so it means like spreading your awareness of your religion all over the place. It's like, no, not really, but... My tattoo job took about 15 minutes. I spent about 2.5 hours right there. Before I left, they asked me, Kenny, which church do you go to? And I mentioned the church that I go to right now. And he says, how many percentage of people in your church can do what you do? And I was just, I really don't know. I'd say maybe 10%. I said, like, wow, you are different from the Christians we met. Yeah, most of them that we met are judgmental. And they look at us and they basically shut us out. And my heart really breaks for that. Because Christians are known for love. Christians are known to know the heart of God for themselves, God's plan for their lives, destiny, purpose, and then to walk it out. And as they walk it out, when they meet someone who doesn't know, who's lost, confused, doesn't know their Heavenly Father, and they should be able to say, Lord, what's your heart for this one? What's your thoughts about this person? Have you all watched the show Hobbit, right? Favorite show, anyone? Favorite? Awesome. The rest of you, I'm sad for you. There was one part I loved about the Hobbit. He was, at the start, Bilbo Baggins was in his hole in the ground. Right, in his house, in the hole in the ground, and he was doing his thing, living his monotonous life. And the dwarves showed up. Gandalf showed up, right? Gave him a contract, asked him whether he wants to go on an adventure to be part of their team. And he considered, he really thought about it, and it's like, you know, I've got this thing and that thing, really boring stuff, you know. He said it as if it's really awesome things, but nothing compared to the adventure they were inviting him on. He said no eventually, woke up the next morning, what happened? The dwarves all left. Gandalf left, and then he came to his senses, he packed his things, got the long list, the long contract. He ran out of the door, and as he was running, someone was asking him, where are you going? And he shouted out, I am going on an adventure. And today I want to talk to you about this, because I feel like that. 7 years ago, when God called me to step into full-time ministry, leave my job, I was a flight steward with Singapore Airlines for about 2 years, to leave my job and to step into full-time ministry, I was really excited about it. I felt like I was going on an adventure until 3 years in as a youth pastor, Lord called me out of that to go to another part of the world, to go into the nations to preach and teach. And I felt like I was going on an adventure. And I asked the Lord, Lord, at that point, I only had enough savings for about 6 months. And I say, Lord, you're calling me to go to, I was going to Canada. And he said, you're calling me to go to Canada for 1.5 years, but I've only got 6 months, money for 6 months. After that, I'm out. All right. And he said, go. And I left. It's been 4 years now. I'm still surviving. Never done a fundraising ever in my life. Never begged people for money. Never asked people for money. And yet the Lord just supplied. Let me tell you, there were times that he would test me and say, Kenny, it's time to let go of your hold on money and trust me. And time to empty your bank account now. And I've done that at least 3 times. Sometimes it was a little bit easy to empty your bank account, especially when you have only $30 left. Like just at the start of this year. Sometimes a little bit harder, yeah. But God began to sustain me through and through. And I want to talk to you about this adventure. And the Lord gave me this verse, Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. Let me show that up. Or maybe just a little bit of the pictures first, just for fun. Maybe the slides first. Yeah. We'll go to that in a while. These few years, as I came back from Canada, God's been bringing me to different nations. Basically, in these 4 years, I've traveled to Germany, Canada, Denmark, France, Switzerland, recent years, Nepal, India, Vietnam, Thailand, some others that I don't remember. Yeah, this was in Vietnam. We were preaching at a youth camp there. This was an amazing, amazing camp. This was in Da Lat, in Vietnam, and these were children of farmers. Very hard life, very hard labor, and therefore they are in the family. They were also not very affectionate, which when they approached God, because they approached their earthly fathers in a very cold manner, their fathers approached them in a very cold manner, dealt with them very coldly. That's how they approached the Heavenly Father. At the end of that session, we lined up the ministry team right at the back. And then we told them, we're going to give you a hug from our Heavenly Father. He's going to use our arms, He's going to use our body, He's going to use our love, and we're going to hug you. And one by one, they lined up, and we hugged them, and we prayed over them, let my arms be the arms of Father God for you. And they wept and wept and wept. I remember having 2 guys just here, one here and one here, and my clothes were all gone. Yeah, yeah. It was really fun. Really, really, really fun. Next picture, please. Yeah, the long hair guy, the single Asian guy right at the corner, that's me. That was mid-level hair. I used to have hair up to here. Yeah, this was in Denmark. We were ministering to a few churches there. Always good to go in teams. Okay, next. I'm a little bit afraid of this plane. It has one aisle. One row of seats on one side, 2 rows on the other side. Yeah, every little bump on the plane, you can feel it. This was from within Nepal to the border of Nepal. And then from there, we did a land crossing over to India. Next, please. This was in Nepal. We were holding a conference, a meeting for Tibetan youth. Some of them traveled 5 days down. Down from the mountains. This is amazing time. I really want to talk about this. I want to talk about this time. I've got no time to talk about this, okay? Also, this year I've written a book. It's called Living the Kingdom Life. There's a lot of my stories inside, but also much more on what the Kingdom of God is about. It's really interesting that today when you ask someone, you ask anyone, what's your church? And they will name you a building. They'll name you a particular building. Which, you know, church is the people of God. I'm quite sure you know that. Yeah. And then you ask them, what is the kingdom of God? And they look at you bewildered. Like, you know, it's out there. You know, it's like this thing. It's like God, like Jesus. You know, whenever you don't know how to answer a question in church, you just say Jesus. Most of the time, you get it correct. Yeah. But they're like, yeah, I know the kingdom of God is about Jesus, but you know, what is the kingdom of God? Interestingly, when you read in the Gospels, the word kingdom has been mentioned more than 100 times. The word church, guess how many times? It's kind of about twice. Yeah. And most of the time, so anyway, I wrote this book. I made it really simple, because I want it translated to many, many languages. So I put it at Sec 4 level. Selling at $10 per copy. Grab one outside. I only brought 15 copies. If you want more, just write down your email address. But it has a little bit of this story right in the introduction. Yes, I want to go to Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. Daniel 11, verse 32, if you go by the New King James Version, can you put that up? If you cannot, that's fine. I shall say it out for you. Yeah. Right. The New King James Version. I'll read to you the second part of this verse. It has been my verse for a long time. It says, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. The people who know their God shall be strong. They shall carry out great exploits. It tells me this, that the key to having the supernatural ability to walk out the Christian life, to impact people, to change lives, heal the sick, open the eyes of the blind, and all of that lies in one key, which is know their God. Right? And let's expound a little bit. What does it mean by know their God? Sounds very simple words. But there's so much to unpack. The word know in the Bible, whenever you see the word know in the Bible, it has quite a different meaning from what we understand it. Right? Our idea of knowing comes from, you know, school, and someone teaches you chemistry and physics. Okay, and now I know chemistry, I know physics. But in Bible, the word know is very different. It has very deep, much deeper meaning. Adam knew Eve, and she conceived. They used the word know. Why is it? Because there is, in the Bible, the word know has a connotation of intimate knowledge. Of, I know my best friend. I know him. There's a heart-to-heart connection in that knowing. So to say that I know God is to say I have such a heart-to-heart connection with Him that Jesus had with His Father. And the next part it says, know those who know their God. What do you mean their God? You see, God has, all along, God has many titles, right? You've got Jehovah Jireh, right? Anyone, what does that mean? Don't say Jesus. Jehovah Jireh. Come on, shout it out. That's right. I'm hearing mumbles, but that's right. God our provider, right? Jehovah Rapha. God our healer, that's right. Bit tougher, El Shaddai. That's right. Wow. You are well-taught people. Okay. Jehovah Nissi. Oh my goodness. You've been through some Bible classes, like intensive drilling Bible class. Okay. Jehovah Sikanu. What? Come on. Yes. God our righteousness. A lot of these titles, you see, the titles, you will discover the titles in the Bible of God were often attributed to Him when He did something amazing. For example, Jehovah Jireh. First time, when that was mentioned, that was in Genesis 22. Abraham was sacrificing Isaac and the Lord provided a ram in that place. And the Lord said, Abraham declared him to be the Lord who provides. Jehovah Rapha was when God delivered Israel out of Egypt while they were going through the wilderness. God healed their diseases. It's God who heals. But there is one title that God has held in spite of all his accomplishments, not because of his accomplishments, he has held it for all eternity. Before even he created the heavens and the earth, there is one title that he has held. Jesus came to introduce us to that one title. Anyone want to guess? Father, right? He says, this is how you pray, Father in heaven. To know your God is to know God intimately as your Father. A heart-to-heart connection. To know Him. To know your God as an intimate Father is to know yourself as a beloved son and beloved daughter. To know yourself as a beloved son or daughter is to know that you were designed with a purpose, with a destiny beyond what you can imagine. There were many... When I was 16 years old, I grew up in a youth ministry. I grew up all the way from 13 all the way, like what Pastor Peter said, he never graduated, and so did I. Yeah, and I remember when I was 16 years old, I received my first prophetic word over my life. My church at that time didn't practice prophecy. Yeah, so we didn't receive any prophetic words at all. Now, when I was 16 years old, I was at a youth camp, very much like this this setting. I was at a youth camp. We invited a guest speaker. He was an Australian senior pastor. When he came, he preached at the session. After he preached in the morning, in the afternoon, he says, "Hey, right now, I just want to pray and minister to you guys." And I was sitting at the back at one corner. And he says, okay, I want to pray only for the leadership team. So I want the youth pastors to come up right now. So he got the youth pastors come up, laid hands on them, prayed for them, released anointing, prophetic words, impartation, all of that. And they had an awesome time. And then he said, okay, now I want the senior leaders. The senior leaders, please stand up, come to the front. He prayed for them again, did the same thing, you know, firebomb them in the spirit. And then he said, hey, can I get the cell group leaders or small group leaders, whatever you call it, to come forward? I want to pray for you guys. And at that time, I'm not a cell group leader. I'm just a member in the church, right? Member in the youth group. But when he said, can all the cell group leaders come forward? I'll pray for you. I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, Kenny, go forward to be prayed for. I was like, no, you are not doing this to me. No, 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 no. Like, people will, yeah, yeah, you know, yeah. Not right, you know, in the house of God, there are rules. He just asked for the cell group leaders. I am not a cell group. I just sit quietly at the corner over here and all that. And he went to pray and pray and pray over all these people. As he finished praying, that was about 2 hours in, my youth pastor came over and wanted to close the service. He said, hey, there's one boy that I need to pray for. And he looked toward my direction, pointed at me right at the corner, and I started just crying and crying and crying. And he said, that boy, can you please stand up? And he said to me, I see the robe of, God's robe of favor that's upon your life, like Jacob with the multicolored robe on Joseph, right? And he says, You will face many persecutions, many hardships in your life, but the favor of God will see you through every single one of them. Don't look to your left. Don't look to your right. Whenever you're in trouble, look up, and I will see you through. And even as I'm saying this, I just feel like that this word is for you. This word is for the missions team as well. That the favor of God will see you through the many hardships, the many difficulties that you will have in your life. Don't look to the left, to the right. Look up. You will find Him. You will find Him. He will see you through. As I left the auditorium, we were going back to our hotel rooms. In my heart, in my mind, a doubt came in. What if he's just being nice? You know, pastors, they're nice. They pick out someone and they just say some nice words over them. You know? What if he's just being nice and maybe not really from God? You know, I went back to my hotel room. As I opened the door, immediately the phone rang. When the phone picked it up, it was the pastor. And he said, can you come up to my room for a while? I'd like to just talk to you for a while. I was like, okay. Put down the phone. I was trembling. I was afraid. You know, they tell you, you praise you in public and then you criticize you in private. I was like, man, God told him all the times that I never do my quiet time, never do this, and doing all the wrong things I'm not supposed to do. I was trembling inside. Anyway, I went up to the hotel room, I sat down beside him, and he asked me a question I didn't know how to answer, which is, so you really have a heart to please God, huh? It's like, yeah, I guess. And he took off his gold watch. It was a gold Movado watch, priced at about 1,005 at that time. He said, put it on. You like it? What do you answer to that? I don't know. I wish I could just say Jesus. Yeah, but... So I just put it on, and he said, well, it's yours. It's like, exactly. No, I didn't say what. I said, seriously. Like, Singaporean, right? Seriously. Yeah. And then he's like, yeah. And he said, I just want you to know the weight of what I spoke to you today, and how serious I was with my words to you today. And I just felt like, wow. Wow. God knows my thoughts. Not even something I tell someone, you know, gossip and whatever. Maybe it's not. It was just a passing thought, and God knew it. That day, just that day itself, God spoke. There were two things that were embedded in my heart. First is a sense of identity. Jason Wong spoke about this last week, about identity and destiny. And that day I knew that this God up there, He's real, He loves me, He cares for me, He knows my thoughts. He so desperately wants me to be prayed for, even when I'm not called forward to be prayed for, He would still release it somehow. And some of you need to know that. And the second thing He released within me was a sense of destiny. That there are things that God has called you because you were made specifically, designed differently from any person in the world. That means you reflect a certain part, a certain image of God that no one else can. And when you were brought forth into the world, He has destined for you to accomplish certain things that no one else in the world can. That means when you were born, you bring forth an expression of who the Father is that no one else has ever seen before, because you are special, you are unique. That day itself, God again spoke to my heart. And He said, Kenny, one day you'll lead your youth ministry. And I was like, I'm not even a cell group leader, right? But at that time, I knew how to put my doubts away. And I just pondered it at the back of my mind, just as Mary, mother of Jesus, she pondered it at the back of her mind. 11 years later, that prophetic word was, that prophetic word came to pass. And I know some of you have dreams in your heart, different things. In times of worship, when you are standing in the presence of God, sometimes something drops into your heart, some idea, something that you will do for the Lord. God has called you, destined you to do something, and it's way too big. It's way too big. Some of you can tell what it is exactly. Some of you cannot. You just have a sense of destiny within you. You just have a sense that the things that I'm doing, the monotony of life, the little things I'm doing right now, it's building towards something that God has destined for my life to accomplish. And your mind cannot comprehend it yet. It is deposited within you in your spirit. And your mind is trying desperately to catch up. I want to end off with a final story. I was in Canada. I was in a skate park, a youth skate park in Canada. As I was there, I saw four boys. They were about 17, 18 years old. Four boys sitting at the side. And they look cool. And I was never the cool, you know, just like the nerdy boy in school and everything. So God was like, okay, go up to them. It's like, I know I'm older than them, but the uncool boy in me was like a little bit scared. Went up to them and said, hi guys, my name is Kenny. I'm from Singapore. You know, when you pull out the tourist card, sometimes you can do anything you want. Not saying that you should, but so I said, I'm a tourist here, you know. I just saw you over there, and God highlighted me, you guys to me. And I just want to pray for you and maybe tell you things about your life that I normally wouldn't know. So they go, what? Like, really? I was like, yeah, just let me give it a try. You know, I may get it wrong. I may make mistakes. So they said, okay. First guy, I looked at him and funny picture God gave me. He was, he looks like he's about 17 years old, but he's in an army uniform and he has captain rank on him, right? And he was doing this, like, yeah, like, really, you know, confident to the point of a little bit arrogance, yeah. I was like, yeah, you're really confident. And God talked to me about his gift of leadership, and I spoke to him about that. And at this point, his three other friends were all laughing, and just, I think I was getting something right. That's why they were laughing. And at the end of about 15, 20 minutes talking about him, his friends later explained to him he is his basketball team captain. I was like, Lord, you have a funny way of telling me that, Lord. Yeah. So they got it that that's why I saw the word captain, right? Or rather, that's why I saw him with captain rank. Yeah. Though he was not in army. And I spoke about different things about his life and all that. And once we were finished, I asked, who's next? His three other friends were like, me. Yeah, they all wanted, but you know, just really scared. Really, really scared. We took about 15, 20 minutes per person, prophesied with them, shared with them things about their heart, and shared with them mostly about God, what God thinks of them and God's heart for them. An hour plus had gone by, and once they were done, I was about to walk away. And I just felt the Lord say to me, Kenny, didn't you ask me to see some healing today when you were out? I was like, yeah, I did. And why didn't you ask them if they have pain in their body? It's like, okay. Went to them, guys, you all got pain in your body, and they were all skaters, right? And like break dancers and whatever, and they're like, yes, here. I was like, okay, I got my team all to come over. And we're like, okay, let's pray for these guys. We prayed for them. two of them completely 100% healed on the spot, and another two of them 80%, the pain was gone. And they were stunned. They were really, really, I mean, just the prophetic words itself stunned them to, you know, yeah, but just the healing that took place immediately. And we asked them, so what's your background? And it surprised me, every single one of them, the first person told me he grew up in church until he was about 13 years old, attended church all the way, left at 13, disappointed with church, doesn't know who God is, never encountered God, so he's not real. I'll do my own things, I'll lead my own life. Second person grew up in church, did the youth ministry thing, became a cell group leader, left the church, left the faith. Doesn't care, doesn't bother. Third person, fourth person, parents were even elders in church, and they left the church, all four of them. And they say, we've never encountered God. We've attended church, but we never knew God. We never knew He was real. And I want to give an invitation today. I want to give an invitation today for people who have yet to know God. Can I have the music team up for a while first? I want to give an invitation today in about 3 minutes' time. I want to give an invitation for people who have yet to know God. And when I say know God, I don't mean you've attended church and all of that. God doesn't want your church attendance. He wants your heart. And there's a difference between saying, God, you know, it'll be really cool to have you in my life. And Lord, I surrender my life right before you. This is my life. This is my heart. This is who I am. All that I am. My future, my 60 years ahead, my 70 years ahead of my life. Lord, you make the major choices in my life for me. I will follow you. My heart is for you. Completely surrendered. Bilbo Baggins grabbing his contract, running down, you know, and saying, I'm going on an adventure. I'm going on an adventure with God. I tell you, there were times it was seriously, seriously scary for me. The day I gave away, just this year, the day that I gave away my $30, I was like, okay, Lord, what do I do now? That day itself, three people came up to me and gave me up to $250 just that day itself. Yeah. He will never shortchange you. If you choose to follow the Lord, if you choose to walk with Him, if you choose to be His disciple, you'll go on an adventure of your life. I am not saying that you need to do exactly what I do, just give up school and everything and be like, okay, Lord, let's go to Canada or Africa or wherever I want to go. No, 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 no. I'm saying laying down. Selfish, personal plans. And dreaming the dreams that God has for you. And saying, Lord, no matter what I want to fulfill your destiny for my life. I want to fulfill your destiny for my life. In about 2 minutes' time, I want you to respond to that call. If you have yet to know your God this way, if you have yet to know God this way, trust me, I will not do the every eye closed, every head bowed. Don't look at your neighbor. Lift up one finger beside your ear and then I will see you and that's good enough. No, no, no. Sorry, bro. This is a major, major life decision. You're saying to the God of the universe, my life is yours. You don't want to secretly one finger, one pinky and all that. You want to stand up for your faith. You want to say, Lord, that's me. That's me. That's me. I don't think I can do what Kenny up there on stage has talked about, I think I can do other things, God. But whatever I can do, Lord, these are my 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And I want to fulfill the destiny that you have for my life. In about 1 minute's time, while I'm giving you the timing, because I'm giving you a little bit of time to think through first. In about 1 minute's time, we're going to ask you to respond to this call, to stand up on your feet and say, I've yet to know this God. But you know, I'm only 13 years old. I'm only 12 years old. I'm only 14 years old. And you know, it's a huge decision. Maybe let me make it when I'm 30. Don't throw away 16 years, 15 years of your life. Don't. You cannot find greater fulfillment than in Jesus Christ, than to follow Him. I can see some of you have, many of you here, you've heard Bible stories. You heard of the Heavenly Father who sent His Son to die as a punishment for our sin. You know that. You know that He is a Savior. You know that He saves. But have you asked Him to be the Savior of your life? You know that He is God. He's in charge of everything. But have you asked Him to be the Lord of your life? I'm giving you this opportunity. That at the end of my this sharing, I want you to stand up on your feet, to jump up on your feet. And I say, I want to give. You know, I actually did this like at least, you know, if you grew up in church, you did this at least 20 times. I kind of did this 20 times. Every altar call, I'm right at the front. But I really, really want God to take over. I'm the same age as Pastor Peter, exact same age. And talking to him, I know his heart. I know his heart. He's laid it down as well. And I see some of you, and I know you already made this decision many years back. You already made it. And I say thank you. Thank you not from me, but thank you from the Father for responding to Him. But some of you have not. And as I'm speaking and as I'm sharing the different stories, the Holy Spirit is tugging on your heart and saying, yeah, come on. There is something more. There is something greater. So at the count of three, I want you to stand on your feet. Those who say, I want to know my God. And I want to surrender my life to Him. By the way, don't be shy. Shyness is not a fruit of the Spirit. Some of you want to look dignified. Dignified, not part of the fruit of the Spirit. And especially when you have among you brothers and sisters who have already made that commitment to the Lord. How amazing. How amazing to have a community of people, to have a whole family cheering you on to say, yeah, come on. Go on an adventure with the Lord. I've made that decision. I'm walking out of my adventure. I want you to walk out your adventure. So at the count of three, I want you to stand up on your feet. 1, 2, 3. Don't be shy. Good. It's not a decision that I can make for you. It is not. I wish I can make the decision for you. I cannot. Your cell group leaders cannot make the decision for you. Your parents cannot make the decision for you. This is your choice. You can don't stand up. No social pressure. You can don't stand up. But I'm saying, if you want the Lord to be the Lord of your life, if you want to go on an adventure with the Lord, if you want to see your school as a mission field, your family as a place where the presence of God dwells, if you want to see miracles, signs, wonders, healings flowing from your life, and you have not given your life to the Lord, that's the key. For those who know their God, shall be strong, and they shall carry out great exploits. The worship team sings a song. Can I just get you to come forward? Those who are standing up, just for you to come forward. Scoot out right now. Yeah, quickly come. My friends who are here, feel free to be the ministry team as well. Just lay hands and pray for them. Yeah. Quickly come forward. Those who didn't stand up, if you feel like coming forward, just come. It's really important. This decision is really important. I'm gonna get Pastor Peter to just pray the prayer, lead you guys in a prayer. But what I want you to do is I want you to turn around, please. Turn around. Don't face me, face over there. Turn around, please. Can we just give them a round of applause? Right. They are making the biggest decision of their life. They are among a family who loves them, who cares for them, who say, I will walk with you when it gets tough. Pastor.
Shall we all stand? You know, and as you are standing, let me just say that, you know, in the Bible, we see a lot of like great men of God. But do you know that actually you don't have like a full account of their lives, including Jesus? But many of them, they start at a certain point, their stories. And I think it's just reminding us that even the men, the great men, great women of the Bible, they have very ordinary lives. And some parts of it are so ordinary that it's not even recorded in the Bible. But when you look at their lives, for many of them, their lives were recorded at a point when they step out. Even for Jesus, when he went, you know, to Jordan to be baptized, when he started his ministry. For even people like Jacob, right, who step out in the most unusual circumstances, even Abraham. And I want you to know that all through history, God has been working in the lives of ordinary people. And many of them were young when they were caught. And so sometimes we feel that we are too ordinary. But yeah, I want you to know that we have an extraordinary God. So would you just stretch out your hands, you know, towards the people in the front. Okay, maybe why don't we do this, right? We don't need leaders just to come forward. It can be anyone. So if you are friends or leaders or even parents of our friends who are standing up in the front, can you just come forward? Come very forward very quickly. Just stand with them. We're going to just pray with them. So don't have to be a leader. Alright, but friends included, you can just come because God can also use you, amen? Just like how God used Ben Kenny in all seasons of his life to hear him. So God can anyone use any one of you here? Just stand. So what I'm going to do is that I'm just going to pray over everyone first. But after I'm done, as the worship team takes over to lead us in a song, I want to ask the people who are standing next to you, alright, to be the ones to speak over you, to pray over you. And if God gives you a certain word for them, this is where you can begin to release it over them, right? Do it in a way that you know God is using you to declare destiny, identity over them, right? But don't do it first. Let me be the one to just to pray over them. So, Father, I want to declare all over this auditorium, your sons and daughters, that they will hear your voice. It is not because they are gifted out of their own merit, but it's because you are their Father. And as their Father, you long to speak to them, God. And because you have created them in your own image, you know how different they are. Perhaps sometimes they feel that no one understands them, but you understand them a lot. So we declare this over them right now, that as their Heavenly Father, that you love them, that you have a plan and purpose for their life, that you've given them an identity that is out of a relationship with you. And as you continue to journey with them, you'll be the one who will lead them to be more and more like you, to fulfill everything that you have in store for their lives. Thank you, Jesus, that whatever you're going to speak to them tonight, there's nothing that shall rob them away from those things they're going to speak about over their lives to God. Because you are the one, the Holy Spirit is the one who will seal those words over them. Thank you, Lord. Friends, why don't you just speak over their lives right now? Just invite the worship team. Just lead us to sing over us.
And so, Jesus, I believe.
Okay, I believe that every service is a chance for all of us to rededicate ourselves to the Lord. And for some of you here, maybe what you feel very strongly is the need to rededicate yourself to the Lord. You have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And when you come, you hear this message, you know it's time for us to recommit ourselves to Him. And this is how the Lord has prompted you on your own as you go back, encourage you to not let this word just pass you by. You know, sometimes it's easy for us to listen and then just forget. Right, but there are some of us here, maybe including some of those in the front who are being prayed for. You are kind of, for the very first time, coming to this place when you say, "Yes, Lord, I really want to commit my life to you." Right, maybe some of those in the front you're being prayed for, you're not really hearing this. So if you're a leader and friend or somewhere there, maybe you can even remind them after that they come, when they come back to you. But for those of us who have never really come to this place when we say, "Yes, Lord," right? When God created us and put us in community, He wants us to be able to learn from one another. He wants us to be able to journey with one another. Right? So for those who are, in that sense, fairly new to saying, "Yes, Lord," we need to actually handhold them. Right? You need to actually have people that, in that sense, disciple you. So if you know that you are so-called fairly new to saying, "Yes, Lord," I want you to, after this, right, go and find maybe your leader or your friend, right, or even perhaps your parent who says, "Friend, can you just walk with me, right? Help me to know more about what it means to love Jesus. Help me to know what it means to continue to hear His voice." And for the friends who, in that sense, you're more mature in the faith, proactively look out for these people so that you can guide them and encourage them in their walk. Is that okay? Is that okay for those of you who still hear my voice? Can? Okay, so let me just bless you before you go. And after I bless you, please not make a lot of noise because there are still people being prayed for. Father, we want to thank you tonight that you have spoken. We know, Lord, that you are not just able to speak through a human vessel, but you're able to speak to each one of us. Thank you for the privilege to be your sons and daughters. And regardless of whatever come our way that distorts that truth, Father, we pray for your truth to overwhelm us, for your truth to be engraved deeply upon our hearts, God. So I bless all my friends here, that when they go forth, it will not just be something they remember, but it will be something that excites their hearts, that they can even share with people who need to know about this truth, God. So all God's people say, amen, amen, and we'll see you next week, alright?